As someone who's seen the rise of Milo's ideals, this is in response to what is driving the Milo Yiannopoulos phenomenon. Well, I think we can answer that question. It is the cult of celebrity is what's driving it. Are the apologetics for the Catholic faith, which he does throw into his talks, are they driving it? Probably not. Is the wild hair, the wild Billy Idol-looking hair and the sunglasses driving it? Probably. Are the defiant embraces of homosexuality and homosexuality culture and even some of the descriptions of how the acts are performed driving it? Probably. You know, the tragedy here is that the man actually has an opportunity, the young man has an opportunity to evangelize. But you can't evangelize, or you can't do apologetics while you're doing sin. And I would say that the two just, that they don't mix, they don't match, they shouldn't be together in the same place. And yet, there they are. Anyways, what do high school kids think of Milo? Well, here you go. As someone who's seen the rise of Milo's ideals, specifically who's seen the rise of Milo's ideas, specifically in teenagers raised in a conservative context in my Christian high school, I feel like I have a perspective that you don't. Milo isn't getting conservative ideas out there in a subversive label that's appealing to millennials. He's a prophet of the deeply unconservative alt-right. He's not created a climate that's accepting of conservative ideals. He's creating one that specifically rejects those values as hallmarks of a system that they view as a failure through not being radical enough. So, to our protestation last hour that we aren't stating what needs to be stated about what a true conservatism is and is based on, the high school-aged writer here says, no, that's not it at all, and that's not what we're looking for. Pity, right? Absolute pity we should have right now. This is a generation that people my age and 10, 12 years younger have raised and have put into high school. This is all on us. That's why all the good little Christians at my high school are falling in behind him. Not because they actually give a crap about conservatism, but because he's giving angry, aimless young men whose church hasn't given them anything, solid to fall back on, an alternate source of values that happens to be steeped in fascist and white supremacist ideals. It's just as absorbed in identity politics as any social justice movement on the left is, except focused on white men and not LGBTQ, RSTONNE people. It has swallowed up the most of the guys in the senior class at my school, and I'm tired of it. You can't just not talk about politics with them because everything is politics to them. Well, you know, that's the way it is with your average lefty out there. Everything is politics. There's nothing that's not political. Hey, I'd like to buy a ham sandwich from you. Really? Do you know what a ham has? Do you know what a pig has to go through to become ham? No, I just kind of want the sandwich. Really? You probably don't care about animal rights, do you, bozo? No, I just kind of want a ham sandwich. Really? Well, have you ever seen the way they treat pigs? Have you ever seen the way they're slaughtered? No, dude, you know what? Can I just have a bean sprout sandwich? Everything is about politics. Nothing is not about politics. There's nothing that is not touched by politics. The sad part is, how much of this is really actually politics? I'll give you an even more sad part. Why do people want government to resolve these things for us, when at their root level, most of these things are human conflicts? These are conflicts between men and men, men and women, women and women and women and men. Or women and brothers, sisters, men and sisters, brothers, etc. These are not things that would lend themselves to a governmental solution. This is the deceit of our day, and that we think everything has a governmental solution. And if it's a governmental solution, that means then what then? This is the danger of this and why things have gotten so far off the rails. If it is a governmental solution, what does that mean? Well, then that means it's a solution for everyone. How many things can you think of outside of murder, arson, rape, murder, and stealing, things in the Ten Commandments, that are actually to cry out for an actual universal solution? How many? I wager you that upon prudent and sober reflection, not very many. Okay, well then why are we told? And why are so many people agitating that government ought to solve these issues? It's nothing short of amazing. As we should talk about more often here on this show and other shows, government solves things for the benefit of the common good. That's all that it is supposed to do. It cannot solve things and should not solve things that are for the benefit of the individual. When they are for the benefit of the individual, well, then they cannot be for the benefit of, or for the advancement of the common good. If you were to tell me that, well, we're going to have to change this rule or this law or this behavior or whatever because X is not happy with Y, and Y is bigger and badder than X, but X wants to be as big and as bad as Y. Okay, well, isn't Y part of the common good? X is what, a small part of the common good? How many people have some stake in the Y? This is where the Republican government has gone off the rails here, where it can no longer be relied upon and can't be trusted, and you can't turn to it because it hardly does anything that's for the common good. Common good is easy to identify as well. For example, having a uniform set of rules that dispensing of drinkable water is something that is for the common good. If you were to say, look, all research, real science research, says that if you have lead in water, then people are going to be affected by the lead, and their brains are going to shrink, and they're going to be incapable of thinking sometime. A uniform rule that would say, well, you know what? We care about the citizenry in this town, so we don't allow lead pipes. Oh, over there in Hooterville, they have lead pipes. You want to go over there and be dumb? Go ahead. You want to go over there and get dumb? Go drink yourself. A universal rule might say, or a common good rule might say, we have these things called stop signs on roads. Because stop signs, when there are four-way intersections, have been shown to, although a traffic circle is always preferable, have been shown to mitigate accidents. I mean, just simple things like that. We have a common rule and a common agreement that if someone owns something, you don't take it from them. It's called theft. Government can and only should do the things that are for the common good. And yet people wish to turn to it to do all these other things. And that's where, you know, that's what drives Trumpism. Americans, sick and tired of knowing that there are things that are being driven, that are being done, that are for the individual and are at the expense of a large group. Like for the individual to be parading about as a gay, lesbian, bisexual, whatever the case may be, to be force-feeding you and I and our children their open sinfulness, and we are not free to and are not allowed to say, no, I wish you wouldn't do that in my presence. Oh, well, you know what? I'm homosexual. I have rights. And too bad. I don't care if your stupid kids are offended. That is something that's obviously not for the common good, because the common good would hold out that parents and their right to raise their children free from on-display pornography in their presence is a good thing. or on display, whatever the acts may be. Blah, 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 blah. What else does the kid say? I sat and heard multiple conversations in the school hallway about things like how the very concept of legal immigration is cultural Marxism, and about how if all the blacks in America moved back to Africa, there'd be less crime and Africa would be better off because they would have people who would learn things in America. It's absolutely nuts, but what am I going to do? I don't know that any adults would take me seriously if I told them this was a problem. The alt-right has defensive talking points, and they are baked right into the ideology so as to make it more palatable for conservatives. Just like how communism masqueraded as concern for the workers in the early days to make it appealing to moderate socialists. Maybe that's just the norm for kids my age now, and I'm just gonna have to be paranoid that everyone that I meet is secretly a white nationalist. Well, they may all. I don't think everyone. Certainly, though, folks, this again points out the dearth of. And there was one part in here where the kid talked about. I know because I quoted this in the pile of prep here today, that here it is. That's why all the good little Christians at my high school are following in behind him, not because they actually give a crap about conservatism, but because he's giving angry, aimless young men whose church hasn't given them anything solid to fall back on, an alternate source of values. The kid's largely right about that. What is the church giving out today? Youth groups? Oh, great. There's a youth group. Got a youth group basketball league. Fantastic. What does that do? We have youths that are involved in some of the most, and I say this out of concern, not out of mocking, but some of the most pathetic excuses for catechism in the history of an RCIA catechism program's history. The church isn't giving those kids something to fall back on. It isn't giving those kids a traditional basis upon which to act and then something to defend that is actually defensible. Truth is defensible. And truth can be understood by kids. As a matter of fact, I'd say it's easier for the young to understand truth because they haven't been perverted my erroneous thinking their whole lives. Then there's another reader that writes, and I cannot comment so much about what's going on in high school, but I can tell you that it is downright eerie how stale my college chapter of College Republicans is. You know, conservatism is really in a crisis. It's a sad crisis, and it's one that we ought to care about, not so much because we care about conservatives or conservatism, but because we care about the future. And it's the youths that are going to have to carry the banner into the future. And not only are they not being catechized properly from the ecclesiastical point of view, they're also not being catechized properly from the point of view of what government is and what it's supposed to be doing and what it does and what the dangers of it doing too much is. And I can also tell you that there's another side of this story, and that is, like, from my daughter's perspective, greeting into polite society of America and Americanism was when she got her first paychecks at the tender age of 15 and 9 months old, and demanded to know of me, this check's like $2.50. What are all these things on here? There's a Medicare tax, there's a state income tax, there's a federal tax, and so what is this? To which I said, welcome to life in America, kid. Get used to it. Life stinks. Get a helmet. I think that the productive in society, those that have not lived cloistered lives and have had to go out and work and have maybe even gotten a W-2 form or two in their life and have seen the rapacious appetite that government has for what it is that they earn, have a different point of view than from those that live in cloistered, sheltered lives and have never had to work a day. But then again, I digress.